Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today was Rick's choice. He chose Roka Braves of the Six Flowers, also known as Roka no Yusha. It originally came out in July 2015, ran through September 2015. It was 12 episodes long. The producers were Pony Canyon Studios, Passion, and the genres were action, adventure, fantasy, magic, and mystery.
Heavy on the mystery.
Sure, we'll go heavy on the mystery.
You don't think so?
You know, honestly, I really don't.
So you had a fair idea of what was going on the entire time.
It started off like it was going to be kind of like an action-packed type of show, and it really wasn't an action-packed type of show.
It had some decent fight scenes, but yeah, there really wasn't much suspense.
So the premise of this, of the whole show, is basically you have six people, six heroes, which are the Braves of Six Flowers, which are chosen by a goddess of fate, who was the original person who destroyed, or not destroyed, but defeated the demon god, who comes back every few hundred years to try and take over the world. And after the first time, this goddess chooses six heroes to go and defeat this demon god. This time, however, instead of there being six heroes, there are seven. And no one knows who the fake hero is. And that's basically the entire premise for nine episodes. And if you're really keen, like I was, you could tell the second when they get to that, oh, Bunny Ear Girl, she's the one, she's the seventh. Like, obviously. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Okay, so rewatching it, I was picking up on things I didn't see beforehand. And I don't know. Like, it was frustrating.
So the first time I tried watching this, because this is a second attempt at watching it, the first time all the way through, the first time was when they reached the temple after the six Braves were chosen and they found out the seventh one. And then you had Nashantina, who was Bunny Ear Girl, flailing around and destroying the tablet. After that episode, right after you found out there were seven, I was like, oh, Bunny Ear Girl's the one that did it. And I flipped off. I never actually finished watching it.
Okay.
So when you chose to watch this, I didn't remember. And I started watching. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the one where I bet the Bunny Ear Girl, whatever her name was, Nashantina.
Let's just call her Bunny Ear Girl.
Bunny Ear Girl.
It's easier.
Yeah, it is. Bunny Ear Girl was the one that I'm sure the Bunny Ear Girl did it. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and lo and behold, my assumption when I first started watching it all those years ago was correct. I didn't even need to watch it all the way through. I was right.
Well, see, I thought that too, but I wanted to see what was going on. And then I kept flip-flopping hard back and forth on what was going on. And yeah, rewatching it, as sad as it sounds, I forgot how the ending happened, like who the bad person was at the end. And every time I'm seeing this now, I'm like, this is suspect. This doesn't make sense. Like, why would they do this? Why would she do this? And once they figure out that Bunny Ear Girl is the bad one, they attack her and she ends up being one of the monsters that they're trying to fight, or using one of their techniques at the very least. And once everything dissipates and resolves itself, essentially, the show ends with yet another Brave coming forward. So now they're back to square one. They're all seven again. Well, yep. Actually, they're not at square one. They're a little bit better because they know one person most certainly is not.
Yes, that is very true.
And they're like, season two. There's no season two.
Yeah. So
frustrating.
Like, I understand. Like, we really skipped over a lot. but there really is not a lot to skip over.
So
there wasn't much substance in this. So, I mean, like, the backstory of it was what I already gave the description of. The journey, the first three episodes, was basically your introduction into the characters. They also go through some of the premises of the other characters, so you kind of gain a better understanding of them.
The power dynamic. The power dynamic or of them. Because, so, you're introduced to saints, essentially, and saints have God-given power. Why they don't use this God-given power to go kill, like, the devil, who knows? But
well, they explain why they're not able to go kill the devil and why only six of them can go.
Because the crest they're given prevents them from dying within a day of contacting the mist or the color that the demon emits.
So it mists, there's this poisonous mist that gets vented out, and the entire land where the demon god is covered in it. And anyone that tries to go in there, they don't even last a day. And it's more than a day's journey to get to where it is, to where he would be. And so the crest is the only thing that will prevent them from being killed instantly. Now, what I don't understand is, if one of them is fake, why they would even attempt to go in there when they're just going to die? I mean, that's why you don't need a season two. Honestly, that's why you don't need a season two. The fake is going to go in there with them, and they will die because they're not one of the chosen.
That's just it. Any human will die when it touches the mist. The fiends won't. So if they're fiendish, or maybe they have the demon's protection, who knows? So that might be a little harder to discern.
Well, only one of them is actually fiendish, in case you forgot.
One of the six braves is fiendish, yes. However, the seventh brave should have the protection of the demon king, or the demon, right?
Supposedly. I mean, let's think about it, Bunny, your girl, for example, right? Her whole thing to do it was to go to the demon king and actually have him revive all the way. So she didn't have his protection because he wasn't even revived at that point. They did allude to other aspects of it, like the fiends going around to the cities saying, and granting protection. Hey, you go with the demon god, you'll be protected. Anyone that doesn't want to come, just bring me their hearts, which is kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
But
think of this. It's Aztec style sacrifice. Bring me the heart of the doubters to prove your loyalty. And if you think about it, they took those people into that land where the mist kills you within a day. So that right there gives base to my argument.
Well, we don't know if they went into the land. We don't even know if they survived. You never saw them again.
True. But
ever.
The brave that is half and half, she had people go to the land, like go to that area, because that's where she grew up.
You don't know if that's where she's from. You just know that they're from an area where there are fiends, but you don't know if she's exactly from there.
So the way I understand it is the fiends kidnapped essentially a whole village of people, her father included, built a temple to the gunpowder saint, whatever it is. So they go, they have people build this temple to the saint of gunpowder or powder, and that's how she became a saint. So that means you got to have people in that zone, because that's where she said the temple was built.
All right. Well, I don't remember her exact dialogue in that regard. I don't remember her saying that they were a temple. I remember her dad being taken and her mother being the only one that was groomed and bred over centuries, or over not centuries, but over years and decades or a long period of time, to be able to bear a half human, half fiend child. And she also is the only one in existence, so there wouldn't be any other combinations in between the two.
That's true. She is one of a kind, but she always assumed it was her blood that set her apart from everybody else, when in fact it was just everybody else was using her for their own purpose. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, the fiends were the only ones that tried using her for their purpose, and the humans, they won't partake in her or protect her because she is half fiend. Yeah. So they would just assume kill her as opposed to keep her alive.
And I thought it was really curious that our main character, who I originally thought was Atlas, but it's Addis. It was weird because Atlas, the strong, and this was really annoying. He always said, "I'm the strong."
His name was Adlet.
Adlet?
Yeah, A-D-L-E-T, Adlet.
I don't know why I thought it was Atlas.
Because he always referred to himself as the world's strongest hero.
And according to certain mythology, the world, you know, Atlas holds the world up.
Yeah, but he never referred to himself as Atlas, and his name was always Adlet Mayor. So, Mayor. Yep. So, I mean, like, the reason why he could call himself the world's strongest is because, in all honesty, he's never specifying what he is saying he's the world's strongest in. He's just saying he's the world's strongest hero. And it's up to your interpretation as to what that could be.
His strength could be in the fact that he lifts that many grass blades up. His strength could be that he's got the strongest kick. His strength could, but the way that he's saying it, that you are meant to interpret it, he's the world's strongest, like Hercules, essentially.
Or that he's not the strongest in that he's Hercules, but the strongest in that he can't be beaten.
That would make more sense, even though he does do some underhanded stuff in other people's view.
There you go. Yeah, no. In other views, it doesn't. It may be underhanded, but in his view, which in all honesty, in a fight, there really is no such. Yeah, he'll win. He's not wrong about that.
And he doesn't kill, which is kind of cool. I liked that a lot. He doesn't kill anybody human. Fiends, on the other hand, I thought his first battle was the shit. He's like slashing everything everywhere. He uses his teeth to ignite a flame to set people on, not fiends, on fire. And then people. A charging fiend.
episode one, he
wasn't on fire so much.
Well, like the fiends don't even technically die from the fire. It's just, it happens the same way to the humans. They just get doused. They get burned a little because he ignites them from a
flint in his mouth.
Yeah, which is really going to do some damage to his teeth because he has to.
Dude, I was thinking that too.
He has to close his mouth so hard. Some force.
Yeah, I was thinking that when every time I saw that, I went, oh, his dental plan.
Yeah. What dental plan? He's the world's strongest hero. Yeah,
exactly. Hey, that could be it too. His teeth are so strong that, you know, world's strongest right there. Mm-hmm. Can you ignite shit with your mouth? No.
I don't even think he was able to. I think it was just magic.
It was luck. It was luck.
Yeah, because you have it in your mouth. It's going to be wet. It's not going to spark like that right away. But whatever. I mean, he does technique. He does have his fighting style. He is able to win, and he's very agile and very smart, too.
And lucky, I would say, would be a very, very popular term.
Yeah.
Shit that happens, you couldn't line up if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Batman doesn't have that much that much forethought.
And his age is 18. And same thing with Bunny Ear Girl. Her age is 18. Now, one of the other characters, Goldov, he's 16. He acts a lot older. He is a lot bigger, crazy strong, and blindly follows Bunny or Girl. Literally.
Because she happens to be a princess.
And he loves her.
It makes sense because she's the bad guy in the end. And even though she's not really what I would consider to be human anymore, she's obviously not working for the appropriate side, and everyone is horrified to find that her plan will essentially kill 500,000 people. In her words, only 500,000 will have to die. But seriously, though, 500,000 people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people for not so big of land.
Well, not only that, the continent, the people in the continent didn't seem like there was like more than maybe 5 million, maybe, people total living in squalor and in a very non-technological past or whatever it is.
In a very primitive past. Yeah. To say the least, that's a lot of people to just up and murder. I mean, like, who's to say that would be all too, you know? It could possibly end up being more.
Yeah, I was just saying that would be a best scenario.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that one of the reasons why I would have to disagree with you that they would be kept safe and alive is because the fiends are probably just trying to make it easier for them to be able to slaughter and murder everyone.
Maybe, but they, as you can see at the very, very end, there was a fiend that I would consider to be intelligent, one that's able to speak, that has a plan, and
he's one of the great generals. Yeah, one of the top three for the demon god.
And I think
he's also the one that that made Adelette's home basically murder his siblings and rip their hearts out because they didn't want to go with the fiends. And understandably so, I might add, I wouldn't want to join them either, but whatever. What do I know?
True. But I think that this indicates that they have a plan and they're willing to, I guess for lack of a better word, they're willing to put off immediate gratification or lasting gratification. Like, they're willing to give up satisfaction now. And so that's, I would say, unique for sure, but not completely unheard of.
Yeah. That is true.
Although I
gotta say, like, Goldov, how he looks though, man, is weird.
He's too strong. Armor. Yeah, it has no protection, and his helmet makes him blind.
Yep, basically, he's a blind, not so very protected individual that swings around a giant blade that's chained to him. Literally.
Yeah. I thought it was a neat design, though. Think about it. If you throw your... Well, because it's chain, it would really... But I was going to say, imagine throwing that blade around. But if you throw it with all your might, it's going to damn near rip your arm off when it comes to a stop.
Yeah, and the amount of chain he would have to carry on him for it to extend out far enough to do any use is kind of a moot point. You're basically carrying around a giant... wagon of chain just to do it and bring it back.
Yeah, but
one of my favorite characters, honestly, I actually have two, and the one of them is Hans,
the assassin, the cat assassin. Spoke like an asshole, but I loved him,
and he was insanely smart too.
Well, he's considered a genius by Adlis or
Adlet.
Adlet, yeah,
yeah.
He was called a genius. So, yeah. Yeah, he was super smart. And I really liked the, I would call it a twist, where Adelit thought he died. And it was simply an illusion put on him by Hans. So, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and the reason why he did that is because he said, because Adelit was thought of to be the seventh one, and everyone was literally trying to murder him except for Bunny Ears. Because obviously she knew she was the seventh, and she kept trying to portray Hans as the seventh to murder him off.
It was, I don't know, like I was dissatisfied with how it played out at the very end.
Yeah. Oh, anyways, as I was saying, the reason why he did that or one of the reasons why he did that to Ad-Lib, aside from everyone thinking he is the seventh, is because in his experience, what he knows to be true is instead of when he's because Hans had told Ad-Lib that he's the seventh and then basically gave the illusion that Ad-Lib was being murdered. And instead of Ad-Lib being confused in his face, he was more along the lines of I'm dead. And Hans says people's faces don't lie when they're being killed. And if Ad-Lib was truly the seventh one, or at least in Hans's eyes, if he was truly the seventh one, instead of him being terrified with the look of I'm going to die, it would be more confusion. He would have been confused at the revelation of him saying that he's the seventh.
And it's smart, except it for the fact of the end, the twist at the end, where there's yet another Brave that shows up. If it was only those seven, or only those seven, that would be perfect. But because there's now, in my opinion, more fake, how the tables have turned, and quite possibly more than one fake in that group.
Oh, no, there's not possibly more than one fake in that group. There is more than one fake in that group.
I'm curious, since we already know Bunny Girl is a fake, who's your guess on the second fake?
My guess on the second fake would honestly have to be Mora.
Mountain Woman? Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Why?
Well, first of all, she lied without hesitation or remorse. She instantly was able to turn everyone and convince everyone to just murder Ad-Lib. And not only that, she also is easily able to persuade the others into seeing her point of view.
See, I kind of thought it was the little 14-year-old one that vomits everywhere. The Saint of the Swamp.
My other favorite character, Chamo.
Oh, Chamo, yeah. That's your favorite character? Really?
Because she's really badass, that's why.
She vomits everywhere. She's got bulimia. That's her superpower. She has
an entire swamp in her inside her that she could draw upon and calls upon fiends to do her bidding for her. She literally can just send fiends out to murder everything.
And that's why she's my suspicion one, because she has the power to send fiends out. No saint should have that power.
But unless Mora said that she does have that power, and she is actually well known because other saints of the swamps also had that same ability.
Yeah. But she says whatever she's ever eaten lives in her stomach and gut. And she gets to call him out whenever she wants. Does that mean she's eaten a fiend?
No, I'm assuming that she is connected to a swamp that has eaten fiends.
Perhaps. That might be a decent enough explanation, but what she said was anything she's eaten, she's able to vomit back up.
Right,
whatever swamp she's connected to is eaten.
Right, so my interpretation of it, though, is that she's connected to a swamp, and when she says she's eaten anything, it's available to her in her stomach, is because she's connected to it. At least that's my interpretation of it. I really wish they went into more details about what her power is and what power she actually has.
It's mystical. No, my understanding of it was it's whatever she physically ate, not that she was connected to a swamp and anything that fell into the swamp she can vomit up. When she was explaining it, she goes, whatever she ever ate lives happily ever after in her gut that she can call forth afterwards. And I think she's the most likely of the rest because she's got these fiend-like bubbles, like a heartbeat almost, inside these creatures. And that would be the most logical step for me, that she's the next person to look at. One, because she's the strongest, flat out. And two, because she actually does have fiends inside of her. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from with that mentality and that viewpoint.
And if you look at it, the high functioning top three generals. They're stupidly smart.
Right. But the only person that was ever really close to the saint of the sun, or he or whatever, was Mora. And she's the only one that would be able to effectively have her disappear, know the strengths and weaknesses of all the other saints, because all of them must report to her. And she's also the only one that would be able to formulate a plan and know how everything and how the seal is supposed to work.
I mean, I don't even think she understood how the seal was supposed to work. I don't know. I think it was
because she didn't want to let on that she knew how to do it. I mean, the princess knew how to do it, or Bunny Girl, rather.
Fair, fair. And the mountain lady was a huge proponent of, he's for sure it. We got to kill him regardless.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily in your camp yet, but I'm coming around.
All right. Anyways, off topic, because that's for another discussion, should and if a season two ever comes around, which I don't think it will. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I want it to.
You can dream all you want.
I am good at that.
So, I mean, like, and that basically, honestly, are all the characters, at least the ones of importance.
True.
The final brave that actually comes into the picture, Rolonia, she's the saint of blood, which means she's a healer. And when they introduced her for the first 30 seconds, they immediately led into the fact that her and Adlet know each other.
I mean, that was hinted way earlier on that they knew each other, only because he mentions, oh yeah, no, I knew a saint once. So yeah, I liked the fact that they came around with that.
I honestly didn't really like it because, one, they introduced the new character right off the bat, and she's a saint of blood, and her special power is basically healing, and she's dressed like a cow.
That was hilarious. Although, you and I both know every party needs a healer.
True, but why the hell was she dressed as a cow?
I don't have a good explanation. I thought she might have been like the saint of milk or something. Having her as the saint of blood, I don't understand it.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's as sad as it is. I mean, like, that's basically the whole story. I mean, like, we had more to say on who the potential other fake is aside from the story itself. I think, honestly, we dwelled more on that and the discussion of trying to figure it out than anything else, which is
kind of sad.
Very sad.
It gives me hope for the future. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, well, you go ahead and hold on to your hope. You can hold on as much as you want. I'm not going to judge you for that.
Well, I mean, okay. What are some reasons that you think might be good to actually, like, recommend this show to somebody else? For me, it's got really good graphics, in my opinion. The quality of the animation, the drawing style was nice. It reminded me of Shield Hero a little bit. But I didn't really see any blurs, if that makes any sense. Like, I could pause at any time, and I did not see any blurring of the animation.
They didn't really need to blur anything for the animation.
That was some fast moving parts, I thought.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. You go ahead and you can do that. I mean,
I thought the dub was pretty good as far as matching up the words. So did you watch the sub or the dub?
Sub. Yeah.
Yeah, I originally watched it in the sub, and I just wanted to see the dub. There was not much lost, if anything. So I was very pleased with that.
All right. So I think that's a great spot for you to drop in a rating since you gave it such glowing reviews.
I was going to say, I think it's about time for that. On a scale of 1 to 10, this would rank...
2? 3?
Wow, that low? I was going to say 6 or 7. It was going to originally be a 7 because I really liked how the mystery was. But since you got me stuck on the whole what happens next season if there ever is a next season, I got to give it a 6.
All right.
It's better than average. What about you?
I'm going to go with a 4.
Really? Worse than average. Why?
Because it was very, very obvious in its storyline and the plot and where it was going. Like, they did really horrible setup for it, in my opinion.
You're just not giving it enough time.
I figured it out by the time we actually got there, and I didn't even need to finish watching it, and I had it figured out. The story to get there was okay, which is why I'm not giving it a 3. The animation was good, again, which is why I'm not giving it a 3. But it really, honestly, for it to be considered a mystery, it would have had to be better. It needed to be better than what it was. And it really wasn't.
Okay. I can respect that. Well, what's your potential choice for next
week? So my choice for next week is Samurai Flamenco.
Flamingo?
Flamenco. Flamenco. It's an action comedy parody. It came out in October 2013, and it is 22 episodes long, and it is rated mature. So definitely keep that in mind in case you're watching it with little ones, because I'm going to assume that it is bloody, gory, and there's going to be a lot of cursing in it.
I'm going to guess.
That's all the time that we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this week. If you have seen this week's choice, next or last week's choice, or any of the other choices that we have seen, feel free to let us know what you thought of them. Feel free to join us in our Discord server. You can find the link for that in the show notes. You can also email us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter at Those Anime Guys. We are also on Facebook, in case any of you prefer that. You can find us at Featured Anime Podcast on there. And we also have a voicemail link in the show notes, so feel free to check us out there. Until next time, I'm Jack.
And I'm Rick. And we'll see you later.